We read God's inspired word tonight from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 10, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Text for our sermon tonight is verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in this last section of the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit has been describing our life as soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. In previous verses, the Spirit has described our enemies in this warfare, who they are, their strength, their experience, their subtlety and tactics. And we've been called to be strong in the Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. And then it's listed for us the six different pieces of that spiritual armor, which is our defense in this battle. Now here in verse 18, the Word of God instructs us to pray always. At first glance, we might think that the Word of God is addressing some separate subject now, whereas before he's been talking about our spiritual warfare and the armor we're to put on. And now he perhaps turns to some entirely different subject and now says, let's talk about prayer and what it means to pray. That's a wrong understanding. What he says here in our text about prayer is inseparably connected everything that's been said before. In our spiritual conflict, we are to pray. It's really striking the way in which we fight in this battle of faith. It's not standing on our feet swinging a sword or shooting a gun. It's not with our fists. But the way in which we fight in this spiritual battle is on our knees in prayer. That's what the captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, has taught us by his own example. You read through the ministry of Jesus Christ, and time again we read that Jesus went away by himself to pray. He got up early in the morning to be by himself to pray. And then at the very end of his life, before he faces the greatest struggle, being betrayed and tried and crucified, he goes to pray. Think about that. He who is God himself come in the flesh saw the importance in his own earthly life and ministry praying to his Father in heaven. He's taught us as his disciples in our spiritual conflict the extreme importance of prayer. Jesus said to his disciples before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But the disciples didn't see the importance of prayer at that occasion. Rather than praying, they slept. And we know what happened with Peter shortly thereafter. He fell into temptation and denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And so often our attitude toward prayer is just like that of the disciples. We're too busy to pray, or too tired to pray, or we don't live in the consciousness of how important prayer is for us from day to day, our spiritual battle against our enemies. That's foolish on our part. Our strength is in God alone, and God is pleased to supply that strength in the way of our asking him for it in prayer. It's been rightly said that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Call your attention to this text tonight under the theme, the praying warrior. Notice first of all the necessary activity. Secondly, the important attributes, the essential attributes. And then thirdly, the uplifting answer. This Word of God is intended to remind us of the importance of prayer in our spiritual battles against our enemies. And there are several reasons why that is so necessary for us. First reason is the nature of this battle in which we are engaged. This is a spiritual warfare. The enemies that we face daily are spiritual enemies. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If our enemies were physical enemies, then the means by which we would fight would be physical means. We'd take swords and guns, tanks and airplanes and bombs. But that's not the nature of our warfare. We're facing spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. The fact that they're spiritual doesn't mean that they're not very important, or that this battle isn't very significant because we can't see them. They're all the more serious because they're spiritual. Because our enemies are spiritual, we engage in warfare in a spiritual way through prayer. The armor that we're called to put on is spiritual armor. That armor consists of truth, righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God. Those are all spiritual things. Not things that we can physically hold in our hand and put on our body as an armor. Spiritual pieces of armor that can only be taken and applied to ourselves in a spiritual way through prayer. Prayer is necessary in battle of faith, first of all, because this is spiritual. Secondly, prayer is essential because of the strength of our enemies. That comes out in this chapter as well. Verse 11 says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 16, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of those verses indicate the tremendous power of our spiritual enemies. It's foolishness to underestimate that strength. Any coach of an organized sports team will say that one of the greatest difficulties that he faces is the overconfidence of his team and the underestimating of the opponent. Where they come into the game thinking, we've got this, all we have to do is show up, and the other team is just going to fold. They meet the strong opposition and resistance of their opponent. Same is true in our spiritual warfare. It's foolish for us to underestimate the strength of our enemies. Now, our enemies are not all powerful. The devil, for example, is not the all-powerful God. And those enemies have been principally defeated by Christ at the cross. And yet, they still have a tremendous amount of power. And think about the experience of our enemies, the devil in particular. The devil has been engaging in this battle for 6,000 years. He's learned over that time what temptations work, what kinds of things he can use to make us fall into sin. Our enemies are powerful and they're persistent. All of the verbs that are found in the context here are all put into the present tense. Continue to put on the armor of God. Continue to be strong in the Lord. Continue to pray always. The reason for that is because of the persistence of our enemies. They don't stop. They don't take vacation time and days off, but they're constant. They're relentless in their attack upon the church. If our enemies are so strong and they're so persistent, it's necessary that we depend always upon God in prayer. And then third, it's necessary for us as Christian soldiers to be praying always because of our own weakness. We're told in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord. And then in verse 11, we're commanded to put on the armor of God. And what's implied there is that we're not to attempt to be strong in ourselves or to go forth into battle in our own strength. It's one of the wiles of the devil. It's one of the lies that he wants us to believe, that we can face him and we can face the temptations that arise in our own strength. That in my own strength, by the force of my own will and my own resolve, by the good works I'm able to do, I'm able to fight against these enemies. I'm able to put away these temptations and these besetting sins. I can stand in my own strength. The result of that is that we falter and we fail and we fall. And we're discouraged. And we try and depend upon our own strength. It seems almost contradictory, and yet the Word of God is clear that real strength in this spiritual battle begins with knowing that we're weak. That we're not able to stand a moment in our own strength. That left to ourselves for just a moment, we would fall and falter and fail. We need God. We're entirely dependent upon the strength that God supplies. It's necessary, therefore, that we go into battle dependent upon God in prayer. Because the battle is a spiritual battle, because of the tremendous strength and persistence of our enemies, and because of our own weakness, God says, as Christian soldiers, pray. Prayer is our communion with our covenant God. It's the believer speaking to his God. It's the child communing with his heavenly Father. It's the soldier speaking with the captain of his salvation. Prayer is faith. Faith is a certain knowledge and a hearty trust in God. Faith is depending upon and trusting in God. And that's what prayer is. That dependence upon God and trust in Him is expressed in going to Him in prayer. We're told to be strong in the Lord. And we do that by going to God in prayer. We're told to arm ourselves with the armor of God, and we're only able to put that armor on and to go forth into battle through prayer. This is how we fight. It's not with swords, it's not with guns, it's not with our fists. The way in which we fight as Christian soldiers is on our knees through prayer. Think of all of the situations in which we're strengthened by God in the way of prayer. Before we go forth into battle, we pray. When we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that we do? We're honest. We'll probably have to admit, first thing I do is I check my phone. Text messages, emails that have come through. I get up and I worry about what I'm going to put on or doing my makeup and my hair. We go forth into the day, into spiritual warfare, without prayer. How important that at the very beginning of our day, before we go forth and face those spiritual enemies which are persistent, in prayer. Important not only that we prepare for battle through prayer, but that in the heat of the battle we pray. Next time you're tempted to discipline your children in anger and in impatience, stop and pray. And then can you go forward and discipline still in anger and impatience? The next time that you're tempted to get into a heated argument with your spouse and to say things that you're later going to regret, stop and pray. Pray for wisdom, pray for patience, and then after you prayed, can you still get into that sinful argument? The next time you're talking with others from church and you're tempted to say something that in reality is gossip, or something that cuts and wounds someone else, stop and pray. And then can you still say those things? Next time, and you're dating, tempted to push the boundaries or go over the boundaries with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, stop and pray. And then can you still push the boundaries? The next time you're tempted to look at pornography, stop and pray. And then can you still click and can you still look and dwell upon those things? Next time you're tempted to deal with the struggles of life or the uncertainty of the future with worry and anxiety, stop and pray. And then can you still deal with those things in sinful worry and anxiety? Prayer is so essential, not just before we go into spiritual battle, but right in the heat of the battle, at the moment that we're facing those powerful temptations. Before the battle, during the battle, and even after we fought, after a long day of spiritual warfare, before we fall into bed, to fall on our knees, to thank God for the strength and the grace that He's given us in that day to fight. How important in your spiritual life is prayer? How essential is that in your own mind in the spiritual battles that you face? I don't doubt that each one of us will have to admit that we don't always view prayer that way. Don't always look at prayer as being so important and necessary from day to day. How often isn't it true of us that we wake up in the morning and we've got all kinds of things to do, we've got a busy schedule and day planned ahead of us, and there's commitments that we have right away and children that are already asking for things from us. We feel like we don't have time to pray. How often during the day aren't we so busy with all kinds of things, good things, necessary things related to the calling that God has given to us, and we simply feel like we don't have time to pray? And how often at the end of the day aren't we so weary from our work and the busyness of the day that we fall into bed and we've forgotten to pray, so that a whole day can go by? A day of spiritual warfare, whether we've been conscious of that or not, our spiritual enemies haven't quit. We've gone a whole day without depending upon the strength of our God in prayer. What does that say? It says, for one thing, that quite likely our priorities are wrong. We don't have our priorities in the right place in our own mind. Doesn't that also reveal our pride? That in pride we think we can face the day and we can face the temptations and the attacks of our spiritual enemies without God. Without the strength that's found in Him alone, that we can go forward and we can deal with these things in our own strength. That's pride. And that's foolishness. We try and engage in this battle of faith in our own strength, inevitably we'll falter and we'll fall. Our strength is in God. Our strength is in God alone. God is pleased to supply the strength that we stand in need of to fight in the way of our asking Him for that in prayer. The Word of God to us is this: Christian soldiers, pray always. Then the text identifies a number of essential attributes of our prayers as Christian soldiers. The text is quite short, and yet there's a great deal of instruction about prayer that's packed in there. There are five things that we can identify about our prayers. In the first place, as Christian soldiers, our prayers are varied. The text says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is the general term that refers to our communing with God, and it includes all of the different elements and aspects of prayer. And supplication is the narrower term that refers to one aspect of prayer, our asking of God our needs. Our prayers as Christian soldiers are varied. Our prayers include confession of sin and praying to God for forgiveness. There are times where we are certainly going to fall into sin. We're going to come under the attack of the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh, and we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And the response to that is not indifference or laziness. It's really not a big deal. It's not that important. And neither is our response one of despair. God could never forgive me for that. Our response is prayer, to confess our sins to God, to repent of them, to pray to God for the grace of forgiveness. Our prayers as Christian soldiers include thanksgiving and praise. Having received from God the grace and the strength necessary to fight, our response is thanksgiving. It's praise to God that all the glory goes to Him in this spiritual battle. But especially, our prayers are ones of supplication. We cry out to God in our need. And we beseech God for the grace and the strength that we stand in need of to carry out our callings in this life and to fight the good fight of faith. First of all, our prayers are varied. Secondly, as Christian soldiers, our prayers are to be constant. The text says, praying always, or literally, in every time. Similar to what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. We understand that does not mean that every moment of every day of our life we're to be on our knees, hands folded and eyes closed, and praying to God. But we are to live always in the consciousness of being before God, that His eye is always upon us, and to live always in the consciousness of our dependence upon Him. And turning to Him at all times and in every situation. When we're driving in the car, when we're standing in the checkout aisle at the grocery store, when we're working at our machine or sitting at our desk or carrying out our work, we can and we do pray. When we're taking our little child by the hand, leading them to another room to discipline them, when we're standing in the back of church and conversing with others, when we've just heard some difficult news, some great struggle that we're experiencing, we pray. Even if it's the cry of the heart of the child of God, God help me. God help me as I go discipline my child. God help me say the right thing and this conversation after church. God, help me. I'm facing this struggle and this difficult news. We pray. And that all our life long, from when we're young until we're old, our enemies never cease to assault us all our life. So all our life is to be characterized by prayer. In the third place, as Christian soldiers, our prayers in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, the text says. There's some who interpret that to be a reference not to the Holy Spirit, but to our spirit or our soul. They say then that that means our prayers are to be spiritual, they're to be from the heart. And certainly that's true. That's not the point of this Word of God. It is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And when it says that we're to pray in the Spirit, it means that we're to pray in dependence upon the Spirit. We don't always know what to pray for. We can't always articulate what it is that we need. We don't always know exactly what we need. And there are times where we're so distressed and overwhelmed that we feel like we can't pray. We don't know what to say. Our heart is so overwhelmed that all we can say is, God, help me. We're dependent upon the intercession of the Spirit. We're told in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're dependent upon the Spirit to intercede on our behalf, to take our imperfect prayers and those inexpressible groanings that don't even form articulate words, just the groanings of our soul, to bring those prayers to our Heavenly Father. Pray in the Spirit is to be dependent upon the Spirit, and it's also to be guided by the Spirit. And what that means is that we pray in harmony with the will of God as it's expressed in His Word. The Spirit works always in connection with the Word, never apart from the Word, always in and through the Word. And to be guided by the Spirit in our prayers is to be guided by the Word of God, that we pray in harmony with God's will. Which means our petitions are not, God, make it so that this life is easy. God, make it so that I never face any struggles and that there's no spiritual battle. We know that that's not the will of God. His will for us in this life is that every day is spiritual battle. But our prayer is, God, give me the grace, give me the strength to flee, to fight, and to resist these enemies. Prayers are to be varied. They're to be constant. They're to be prayed in the Spirit, and in the fourth place, as Christian soldiers, we are to persevere in prayer. Toward the end of verse 18, it says, in watching thereunto with all perseverance. We're told in Luke 18, verse 1, that Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're to persevere in prayer because of the weakness of our own flesh. Our old man of sin continues to rise up against us. Our spiritual enemies, the devil and the world, are persistent in their attacks upon us. And there are times when we pray that God is pleased not to give to us an immediate answer. His purpose in doing so is to draw us closer to Him, strengthen our trust and dependence upon Him. And we're called then to persevere in prayer, to be constant in prayer as we're battling this temptation to pray regularly and often, that God would strengthen us to fight against that. As we're dealing with this besetting sin in our life, not to have the attitude, well, I prayed about this once and that should be enough, but to continue to pray to God for the grace and the strength to fight against that sin, to withstand temptation, to persevere in the battle of faith. And then fifth and last, as Christian soldiers, our prayers are to be characterized by interceding for others of God's people. Very end of verse 18, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One of the dangers for us in the Christian life is that we're tempted to isolate ourselves, to think that we don't need others, that we can live apart from them without any relationship and connection to them. And there's the danger that we think everything we face is unique. No one else has ever dealt with this. No one's going through what I'm going through, and I'm all alone in this. That's not true. We belong to an army, a body, the Church of Jesus Christ. We're united together in Jesus Christ by the bonds of faith. We don't stand and we don't fight alone. We stand together with our fellow believers. The things that we experience are not just unique to us, and it's not something that we go through all by ourselves. We have the care and the encouragement of our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And our concern then is not just for ourselves. In our prayers, we intercede for the others of God's saints. Helpful way of thinking about that in our own minds is to think of a set of concentric circles surrounding us. In the narrowest circle is prayers for ourselves and the strength that we need. And then the next circle is the circle of our closest family, our spouse, our children, our parents. The circle outside of that, the congregation to which we belong, and the relationships that we have with brothers and sisters here to pray for one another. Beyond that, to pray for our denomination and our sister churches, and beyond that, to the Church of Jesus Christ Catholic. We might not in one prayer be able to pray for all of them, but to think in our minds about the other saints of God and the struggles that they face. And then truly to pray for one another. It's easy for us to say to one another, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you, or you're in my thoughts and prayers. And then we never actually pray for one another. Not only do we say that to one another, but we do that then. We pray for one another. And we pray specifically as we come to know the needs of our fellow saints. We can certainly pray, God, provide the needs of all of thy people. Thou knowest our needs better than we do ourselves. We can learn to pray more specifically as we come to know the needs of family and friends and other saints in the congregation. God, help this brother in Christ as he's struggling with this. Or God, help this sister in Christ as she's struggling in that area. Pray, not only for ourselves, but pray for one another as fellow saints and members of the body of Christ, that we all be strengthened by the might of God to fight. God, in His grace and mercy, is pleased to hear and to answer these prayers that we make to Him. It comes out from the passage in a couple of ways. First of all, in the text itself, it makes mention of watching. And literally, that's to be alert, to be awake. God is pleased in His grace to answer our prayers by making us watchful, making us spiritually alert and awake. When we don't pray, the consequence of that is that we're not as spiritually watchful as we ought to be. We're not as spiritually awake to the battle of faith and alert to the attacks of our enemies. We go through our day without prayer. How often are we thinking about then the spiritual battle in which we are engaged? God is pleased to answer our prayers, making us more watchful and awake and alert this battle of faith and the temptations and the attacks of our enemies. What a blessing of God and His grace that is to us, that He answers in that way, that made more and more alert and awake. And the other way that God's answer of our prayers comes out here is in the connection between our text and what we read back in verse 14. Verse 14 begins with the exhortation, "Stand therefore." And then what follows are all of the pieces of the spiritual armor that we're to put on. But verse 18 is still connected to verse 14. "Stand therefore," praying always is the sentence of the text. God is pleased to answer our prayers by giving to us the strength that we stand in need of, the strength to stand, the strength to fight, the strength to resist our spiritual enemies. So we pray to God for the strength to fight against anger and impatience. God is pleased to answer and give us that strength. We pray to God for the strength to resist sinful sexual lust. God is pleased to answer in giving us that strength to turn and to resist those temptations. As we pray to God for the strength to fight against and put away our sinful anxiety and worry, God is pleased to answer, giving to us the peace that surpasses understanding. God is gracious to us, supplying to us the strength and the grace that we stand in need of from day to day. God is pleased to do that, and He answers our prayers for Jesus' sake. Whole of the book of Ephesians has been emphasizing that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Began that way right away in chapter 1. We've been chosen in Jesus Christ from eternity. We've been purchased by His blood at the cross. He sent His Holy Spirit to unite us to Himself so that we're flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Christ, our Savior, has won the victory for us. In principle, He's defeated, broken the power of our enemies through His death and His resurrection. We stand victorious. There's no question about that. It's not that the battle must still be fought and the outcome is somehow in question still. The victory is ours in Christ. We go forth into battle each day as the victorious army of Christ. We make these prayers in the name of Christ, dependent upon the strength that God supplies in and through Christ our Savior. And it's for Christ's sake. God is pleased in His grace and mercy to hear and to answer and to strengthen us to go forth from day to day as soldiers in the army of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we're thankful for the gift of prayer. We're thankful to be able to commune with Thee and speak to Thee, lay before Thee all of our struggles and our needs. We're thankful that as a Father, Thou dost receive us and art pleased to hear and to answer our prayers. Hear our prayer now, Father. Strengthen us with might in the inner man. Strengthen us to go forth in the week that lies before in Thy service and in Thy might to fight against sin and temptation and to live out of gratitude before Thy face. Hear our prayer, for we pray alone in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing Psalter number 407.